So we are continuing our series on Exodus. The reason why we are covering Exodus is because 2018 is the year of freedom for East Coast International Church, and Exodus is the story of freedom. It is the story of how to be free. And it is our goal not for you just to get free, but to also stay free. This is very important. Exodus chapter 3. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Why don't you all welcome our Revere location today? They're on the video right now, so welcome everybody. It's good to have you. So we're going to review what we've covered over the last few weeks really quickly, just to bring you up to speed. The Hebrews, or the Israelites, they are in slavery in the country of Egypt. They've been there for about 400 years, and last week, as we read, they cried out to God, finally, after 400 years. Now, as we found out, God says it is time to act. And so now God is acting. So at this very moment, we swing back to Moses, who's been hiding in the desert of Midian for the last 40 years. Because 40 years earlier, he escaped from Egypt and hid in that desert. He's now raised a family and has learned how to be a shepherd. And that's where we're at today. It says that one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law. That's a really interesting thing to think about there, because Moses has been in the desert for 40 years. He was 40 years when he got there. That means Moses is 80 years old. Moses is 80 years old. How old was his father-in-law? I don't know. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. So for 40 years, after we last heard about Moses, he's in the same area working for his father-in-law. And in this verse, we see two interesting parts, to me at least. It says, first of all, that he went far into the wilderness. Somebody say far. Far. Why does it say far? Why didn't it just say he went into the wilderness? He went far into the wilderness. It tells us this because it was on purpose. Moses intentionally went far into the wilderness. In fact, all the way to the other side of the wilderness. Moses left to feed the sheep. But he wasn't just wandering around with them. He went with intentionality. He was taking advantage of the time to be alone and to go someplace that he wanted to go. He was just going to take advantage of this moment. Now, why the wilderness, one might ask? Maybe the wilderness was just a place where Moses could go and get away from everything. Just kind of temporarily hide, take a mini retreat with the sheep. Or maybe the wilderness was just relaxing to Moses. Maybe he had found a good fishing spot that he didn't want anybody to know about. Maybe he had, over the years, built a little cabin out at the edge of the wilderness that he could retreat to. That's probably not what happened, but maybe. Here's what I know. Moses went that way on purpose because of this. He was heading to Sinai. Now, Sinai was a mountain. It was on the other side of the wilderness, and it was a place where God-fearing people would go when they wanted to go and worship God. It's just something that would happen. So when the Bible tells us that Moses went to the mountain, I want you to hear today, this was not an accident. This was on purpose. Moses went here intentionally with his sheep. He wasn't just hanging out with the sheep on the side of the mountain. It was not just any mountain. It was a special mountain because it was a place where people would try to connect with God. What it tells me is this. It tells me that after 40 years in the desert, Moses is still hoping and dreaming and praying that it's not too late for God to show up and do something in his life. He was still hoping that something great could happen with him. He probably has been there dozens of times. He's probably taken the same route with the sheep dozens of times, maybe even hundreds of times. Why? Because Moses has a desperation about him. Moses is desperate to see if God will finally show up. Now, I don't know if you've ever been desperate for anything in life. I mean, you're desperate for this thing or that thing. And sometimes when you get desperate, you will do things that other people might not understand. You will do things because you just have to get it done. Sometimes your desperation takes you to wrong places and wrong things, doing the wrong thing. Earlier this spring, an early spring on a mountain climb that I took, I misjudged the length. In fact, it was significantly many miles longer than I thought. And the weather, it turns out, was much warmer than it had been anticipated. And I ran out of water on the climb with several miles left to go. At this point, I was hot. I was dehydrated. I had nausea setting in. I had a splitting headache that was starting to happen. And at this point, I just became desperate for water. I started looking for water everywhere in ridiculous places. Finally, we came across a stream. And the first thing I saw the stream, I jumped down. I just flattened myself out on the ground, put my face into the stream, and I just started slurping up water as fast as I could. Just laying out there in the middle of the mountain, just slurping up some water. It was so refreshing, and I filled up my bottles with water. And after I stood up and started hiking down the rest of the miles, I thought to myself, wow, I was a little desperate for water. I didn't even check to see what kind of water it was. If it was safe water, unsafe water, I just jumped in. It was water. It turned out all right, though. By the way, that doesn't usually happen that way. I think that a lot of people get desperate in life. They are, in fact, desperate for God, but they don't know that, or they don't know who God is, or they don't know how to put that into words or feelings. So they just start doing whatever they can that seems like it might work. And most of you today can relate to that. Earlier in life, you just found yourself being desperate for something, and so you tried everything. Some try to fill the desperation with money. They'll spend decades or their whole life only to find out that the void they were trying to fill is still very empty. Some try to fill it with one sexual encounter after another. And the more forbidden or broken or harmful, the better, because feeling something is better than feeling nothing. Some will get so high and so drunk that the desperation seems to disappear, or at least for the moment, until you're sober enough to realize that you've harmed yourself or someone else. And this is what desperation does. That's the bad kind of desperation. But there's a moment in the lives of some, and many of you today, when you realize that there is a desperation in your life that can only be filled by God. And when you begin to get a taste of the goodness of God and God's purposes for you, you now know that your desperation has a remedy. You have a remedy in God. You just start seeking God. And every chance you get, you seek God. And like Moses, who had a chance to go and try to get close to God, he did. Because you have a recognition deep within that says, if you don't get God, then you're going to die. Like, it's the only thing that can fix me. I've seen people do this my whole life in all kinds of good and odd and unusual ways. Sometimes people will even show up at this church building or come in trying to connect with God, desperate for God to intervene, and that's a great step. From time to time, we will notice here at the office that people will come and just get close to the building without coming in, hoping that it kind of rubs off on them. We've seen people literally stand outside every day for months, afraid to come in, just hoping, desperate for God. A pastor friend of ours was on vacation, and he visited our church while he was on vacation, and afterwards he told me, he goes, "Kurt, in all of my life, I've never seen a church that with people that were so authentically desperate for God to show up." And that's a good thing. Because when God shows up, he shows off. And when he shows off, it's transformative. Being desperate will take you to places you weren't previously willing to go. And that's good or bad desperation. Being desperate will get you to do things you weren't previously willing to do. And being desperate is going to get things you weren't previously able to get. I think that Moses was desperate. The kind of desperate that goes out of his way, way out of his way, to get near the mountain where people would go and worship God. I think Moses was desperate, the good kind of desperate, the 40-year kind of desperate for God to show up. Verse 2 says, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up." So, here's the exciting thing the Bible says. There's a bush in the wilderness, and it's on fire. So what? Seems like a relatively ordinary thing. And just think, if Moses, after he was taking care of the sheep, went home, sat down on the couch with his son, flipping through the channels, and said, "Son, hey, you're never going to believe what I saw today. I saw a bush, and it was on fire." His son would be like, "Dad, can you just turn the channel? I don't understand what you're saying, but it's not a big deal." Point is, the fire is not a miracle. The bush being on fire, not a miracle. Because sometimes things catch on fire in the wilderness. What made this a miracle was this bush did not go out. The fire in the bush didn't go out. It didn't burn up. Here we have, as far as we know, an ordinary, everyday bush that God sets on fire and it won't stop burning. It's just an ordinary bush doing an extraordinary thing. And as far as anybody can tell, we don't have like a natural gas source underneath the bush. These aren't special rocks around it just exploding and helping propel it, which is what people try to say. This is just a bush that's on fire and won't go out. I want you to understand that God gets the attention of Moses through an ordinary bush doing an extraordinary thing. If anybody in this room feels ordinary today, if you feel about as useless as a bush in the wilderness, then sit up and listen. Because if God will use an ordinary bush to do a miracle, then he will cause you to do extraordinary things as well. If God will use a bush to stay fired up, then God would absolutely love to use you. So get fired up. Tell your neighbor, get fired up. Get fired up. Catch on fire. Put their matches away. You don't need them. Okay. Now, verse 3 says, "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it." Moses was amazed. He acknowledged that what he was seeing was amazing. Off in the distance was the angel of the Lord in the fiery bush. Not a normal experience of his. This is an unusual day. He was not prone, as far as we know, to seeing fiery bush angels while feeding his sheep. He'd never seen this before. First, I want you to see that he said it was amazing. What does that mean? It means that he was willing to accept this as authentic. He saw something amazing and said, "It's amazing." Sometimes in this very jaded world that we live in 2018, we see amazing stuff and we don't even acknowledge that it was amazing. Just got to move on. He acknowledged that it was amazing. Not just some strange episode, but something more, something significant. Remember, Moses is out here hoping for a connection with God. In other words, he was ready for a miracle. He was ready for a miracle because he was looking for one. He didn't have to get it explained. He didn't have to say, "Well, I'm not really sure that this bush burning forever is possible." He didn't have to get it explained. He just accepted it for what it was, simply miraculous. And that's how most miracles are. They don't have to make sense because they're miracles. They're miraculous. Whoever said they had to make sense? Most of them don't. I was on an isolated island in Ometepe, Nicaragua, all by myself on an abandoned beach. And I felt God say to me as I was praying, "There's a young girl that needs you." Didn't have to make sense. It's just what I heard. How was I to know that at that very moment, my future daughter was just a few months away from being born? And God knew that she was going to need a new family. God got us ready so that we could start looking. And thank God we started looking. But can I tell you, we started looking everywhere. And I just assumed it was in Nicaragua, so we started looking all over Nicaragua. And the world's a big place to look for somebody. And we looked and we looked. Finally, we realized we were supposed to be looking in our backyard. And as our family story goes with Haley, we finally found her. And what a miracle she is. So many miracles are out there in the life that we live. And so many times, God shows up and he shows off and we just walk on by and completely miss what it is that God does. I think that most Americans would have been walking by with the sheep and said, "Oh, there's a fire and an angel. Let's keep moving." And just kind of moved on. In fact, the fact that Moses stopped, was authentically amazed, is a significant part of the miracle in my mind. But his next response is one that gets me very excited about who he is. He says, "I must go see it." It's like, hey, there's something awesome happening. I'm going to go check it out. And so off he goes. No backup plan, no reconnaissance mission, no scout sent ahead. He was ready for an encounter with God. And so he's like, "I'm just diving in. This is good. Let's go. See you later, little sheep. I'm out of here." He's been waiting 40 years for this. And there's no way that Moses is going to miss this moment. He's got to go and take a closer look. I wonder what you would do. Would you go closer? Would you stay away? When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him in the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. God calls out to Moses from the bush. Calls him by name. Hey, God knows who I am. That's awesome. "Moses, Moses, what would you do? What would you do in your life right now? What would you do if God called you out by name? Would you run away? Like in terror? I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of other people simply hide when God calls to them. They just hide. They're afraid. They don't feel ready. They don't want to deal. They just hide. And other people do like Moses. They're like, "Here I am. Here I am. I'm right here, God. Here, here. It's me." He's probably looking around like, is there another Moses? Why did he say the name twice? Who's the other Moses? You know, he's going to make sure that there's nobody else. Oh, God, that's me. Pick me. Pick me, God. I'm the only one here anyhow. Pick me. You can just see Moses out. It's like Horseshack in Welcome Back, Kotter. Horseshack in Welcome Back, Kotter. You might know what I'm talking about with this video. So. Now, just for my sake, just so I know, how many of you have never seen Welcome Back, Kotter? Just raise your hand. Oh. I thought it would be better in this service. It's worse. It's worse. You just got to play it one more time since they've never seen it. Let's just go ahead. Let's just go. Just show this one more time. John Travolta next to it, if you don't know who that was. Yeah. So, I mean, this is just how, if I'm messing with your reading of the Bible, I apologize. But this is kind of how I see it, all right? Because there's no way that Moses was going to miss his chance. God said my name, I'm making sure that I get it. Then God has him take off his shoes and come closer. As the worship team comes up, it says, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses here is being invited to continue the relationship that God started with his ancestors. Don't miss this. Moses is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the same God that made a promise to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. The same exact God. It's not a different God. It's the same God. And when God says to him, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," what he's doing is he's inviting Moses to continue that relationship. Don't just let this be my relationship with your grandparents and your parents. This is going to be a relationship between me and you now. God was picking Moses, and Moses was picking God. It means that it's the same promises that God gave Abraham are now for Moses. And that the God he had hoped for his entire life, the God that he had heard his mother and his sister tell him about, the God that he had heard through the stories of other people that he hoped was really there, he was now finding out at the age of 80, he's now finding out that this is the God that still wants a relationship with him now. This is the same God that he gets to encounter up close and personal. It's a big deal. Would you stand with me as we close? So let me ask you just three simple questions today. Do you need to spend some time in the far side of the wilderness to connect with God? Do you need to, with some intentionality in your life, set aside time or set aside a season where you just go and you and God hang out, where you go try to connect with God? Maybe that's right here on a Sunday. Maybe it's on the beach, wherever it is for you. But you go and you connect with God. Or maybe today, do you need to let God take your ordinary and turn it into something extraordinary? Because we all got ordinary. Will you give it to God and let him make it extraordinary? morning, we were talking about foster care for just a moment. Maybe you have room in your house and love in your heart. It might seem ordinary to you, but God could use that to do something extraordinary in somebody's life. Perhaps today, is God clearly inviting you into an encounter with Him? Maybe throughout the service today, you've heard God call your name. Maybe not with your ears, but deep inside of you, you felt God calling you. Maybe today is your burning bush moment. What will you say? What will you say? Will you say, "Here I am, God. Don't miss me." Or will you keep on walking? The worship team's going to close us with this, as they do. Maybe today you need to respond. You need to say to God, "Here I am. Use me. Take my ordinary, make it extraordinary. I won't miss this moment." The altars are open. Please come up as you like.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment today. As you connect with God, listen to Him. Listen to Him as He calls your name. Listen to Him as He invites you. Take your ordinary and to make it extraordinary. To take your life, give it new purpose and meaning beyond what you even hoped for. So, Father, today we open up our hearts to you. We open up our spirits. We open up our minds, all of who we are. We are here today because the truth is we want to connect with you. We want to draw close to you. Speak to us throughout this day. Help us to hear you. Help us to follow your leading and follow your direction. Help us to see, as Moses saw, that he was being invited into an intimate and personal relationship with God. And as you invite us into that relationship today, help us to respond yes to you. Help us to respond by taking those steps in relationship. Thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for opportunities like this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all.